2 Kings chapter 4, verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed. I like how God's word puts it there. It fell on a day. It wasn't an accident. This was set up by God. And so it says, and it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, behold now, I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. And we'll stop right there. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for bringing us here to this point tonight. And I do pray that you would help us to see and understand what you have for us. Lord, it's not a mistake that we're here. It's not a mistake that we're here in this passage. Lord, you have a purpose and you have a word for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd open our ears and our hearts to receive it. And then to not just hear it, but to put to action what you give us to do. I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This word that the Bible describes the Shunammite woman as great means influential and possibly well-to-do. In verse 9, the Bible says that she immediately sensed a likeness with Elisha's spirit. God did that. Amen. When a true follower of Jesus meets another follower of Jesus, we immediately sense a oneness of spirit, a like-mindedness, the feeling that you're on the same team, because we are. Amen. And you could go anywhere and meet a person for the very first time, never seen that person in your life, and feel what she felt. I don't know if you've ever recognized that or not. I certainly have. Where you've come across the path of a person, and you get to talking to them, you find out they're a believer, and all of a sudden you just have all kinds of things in common. It's a wonderful thing. God does that. God orchestrates these divine meetings to meet the needs of his children. He did that for both Elisha and that woman. We'll see that as we read through the passage. Elisha apparently had a regular route here that he traveled, because it's evident when she's talking to her husband that Elisha comes through here pretty regular. And so we need to make a room for him. And put a bed in that room, and a chair, and a table, and a lamp. It was like the halfway point of his travels. Sometimes when we're going to Bonifay, there's this halfway point. Where's that at?
Madison.
Sometimes it's Live Oak at the Busy Bee. Right? The halfway point, a good place to stop. I've never been offered a room there, not one time. I don't know what's going on with that, but we've certainly shown our faces there hundreds of times. Anyway, Elisha needed a hotel room to stay in when he made this regular trip. And in verse 10, it's evident that God moved on the heart of this woman to provide that for Elisha. Again, this was one of those divine appointments. I don't know how they actually crossed paths the very first time. The Bible doesn't indicate there how that happened. We just know that it did. And it was a divine appointment. Notice, though, that Elisha, he didn't ask for a room. In fact, he didn't even insinuate that he needed one. You know how that happens sometimes. It sure would be nice if somebody would give us a room to stay in. You know how that happens, right? He didn't even do that. God just worked it out. God knew his need. He knew his need before he knew his need. Before Elisha knew it, right? It's not wrong to ask for help. The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. But sometimes it's necessary to just let God work his sovereign plan. I'm sure you've heard of George Mueller. And as history records, he never asked for a single penny to run his children's home. It was a massive children's home. They had great needs. And I know what that's like. We used to work at a children's home. It wasn't near as big as George Mueller's. But George Mueller would just pray and say, God, you know our need. Please supply that need. There were times that they would sit down at the table to eat with nothing on the table to eat. And he would pray, God, thank you for this food. And a knock on the door would come. And somebody would be standing there with enough food to feed all those people. It's not wrong to ask for help. Sometimes, when we pray and ask God for certain things, it's okay to just let him work his sovereign plan. But here, now in verse 11, the Bible says, and it fell on a day, there's that term again, it's interesting, and it fell on a day that he came thither and he turned into the chamber and lay there. So they got this room built. Elisha came through town. And so she invited him and his servant Gehazi to stay there, and they did. Something that I see here is this. When God puts someone in your life to provide for a need that you have, accept it. Many times the reason that we don't is because of our pride. Oh, I'm good. And inside we're thinking, man, I need that. But our pride gets in the way. When you refuse the help that someone's trying to offer, sometimes you can rob them of a blessing. Don't disrupt God's sovereign plan to meet your need. Also, I want you to notice something else. This woman and her husband, they had the financial resources to build this room. They basically constructed an addition to their house. How many of you ever done that? It ain't cheap. It never has been cheap. It was probably cheaper then than it is now as far as actual dollars, but it was probably equivalent to what it is today. Okay, they didn't use US dollars back then, but I'm sure it cost them something. And God had set this up. Remember, we're talking about a divine appointment. God put Elisha in the path of this well-to-do couple who were Christians, sold out to God, willing to spend their money to help somebody else. God provided for this couple the resources to build this room. Here's the important thing that I see. God gave them that ability. They didn't create it. They didn't make it up. They didn't build it. You hear a lot of people making comments like that. You even see hundreds and hundreds of books. This is how I made success. The Bible says that we didn't make anything, that everything we have, we received it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I want you to see it with your own eyes. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7. Paul was apparently dealing with some people who were kind of proud. So this was his comment. For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? So what he's saying here is, everything you have, you received it. It came from somewhere else. You didn't make it, you received it. That goes for your strength, that goes for your knowledge, that goes for your wisdom, that goes for your talents, that goes for your vehicle, your house, your money, everything. It came from God. If you make more money than your neighbor, don't look down on them as though you're better than they are. God has allowed you those resources for a reason, and I can promise you it's not so that you can indulge for yourself. All of us should be good stewards of the resources that God gives us, our talents, our home, our money, our time. We're only stewards. The Bible is clear that we don't really own anything. God owns it all. It's all His. Yes. The clothes you're wearing are His. Yes. The money in your bank account or in your wallet or in your purse, that's not yours. It's not mine. It's God's. Amen. This couple who was helping Elisha understood that. In fact, I don't know if you know this or not, but in Ephesians, we're going to read this here in Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible teaches us that the reason that we even have a job, one of the reasons is to help other people. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. Bible says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Why? That he may have to give to him that needeth. Why do we work? That we may have to give to him that needeth. Now, I'm just going to confess right here to you. There's been many times where I have told people, I can't help you financially. And that wasn't true. I could. I just didn't want to. I do realize there are some people that don't really need a handout. Amen. I realize that. And then there are some people that do. Amen. Most of the time, the reason that we don't have to give is because we have spent it on something else. Amen. If you take this verse that we just read, you couple that with 2 Corinthians chapter 8, you will find that it's important to budget a certain amount of money just to help other people. So that when that person is in need, we can help them. Every one of us, there's nobody in here that's excluded except for maybe Carson. Every one of us can and should plan on helping other people. This couple, God ordained this divine appointment so that they could help Elisha. And he did that by making them wealthy and helping them to see the fact that they needed to set some aside so that they could help somebody. Amen. Here in Ephesians we read, that's part of the reason why we work. The other part of the reason that we work is so that we can pay our bills. So, we should plan for it. That Shunammite woman and her husband could have just as easily spent that money on a vacation to the Bahamas. Or maybe in that day to Crete. Or Pamphylus or somewhere else. Who knows? But they didn't. They used it to help somebody else. Then we're in verse 12 of 2 Kings chapter 4. And he said, Elisha did, to Gehazi his servant, call this Shunammite. When he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. So Elisha, he felt, you know what, this woman has been such a blessing to us. It's been a real big help to have this room to stay here. We need to return the favor. So they call her in, say, hey, all right, you've been a big blessing to us. We want to help you. What do you need? She says, I'm good. I don't really need anything. I think she said that out of pride. Maybe not. That's just my opinion. Many times that's what we do. We like to exhibit this air that we have it all together. We have everything that we need. And that's just not true. Do you have problems?
Yep.
Amen.
Anybody here does not have any problems? We got problems. We got problems that we'll talk about. Then we've got problems that we don't want to talk about. But we've got problems. I've never gone to a person, and I've done this many times, I've never gone to a person and asked this question, what can I pray for you about? Saved people, unsaved people, that didn't reply with an answer. An honest one. Why? Because we all would like to have somebody to pray for us, help us in some way or another, right? I mean, if somebody came up to you and said, look, God put it on my heart to give you $1,000, would you fight them over that? No. You would gladly take it. I think. I would. I would be, you know, I'd question them. But then I would take it. My dad told me, he said, look, if anybody ever offers you money, you take it. And I've obeyed him. Don't refuse to help when somebody comes to you and wants to help. Sometimes it'll be that divine appointment. It was here. We're fixing to see how that panned out. But don't refuse the help. That's pride. Amen. We all need it. We all have problems. We all would love for somebody to pray for us. Let's read on. I think we're at verse 14. He said, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old." And he said, "Call her." And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, "About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son." And she said, "Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid." She wanted a son. And you can tell this when you read through the story here. She had been wanting a son for a long time, but could not have one until this divine appointment came. And the Bible says that God told Elisha to bless her and to let her know that God is fixing to let her have a son. And she did. This divine appointment turned out to be a blessing for Elisha, but also for the Shunammite woman and her husband. Be on the lookout for your next divine appointment. Amen. They happen more often than you think. Sometimes we avoid the blessing that they're wanting to give, or we avoid the blessing that we ought to be for them, because we don't really recognize it. And I'm with you there. I do the same thing. I pass up many opportunities to be a help and a blessing. I also pass up opportunities sometimes to receive them out of pride. These divine appointments, I think, happen pretty regular. Be on the lookout for it. It may not be a great big deal. It was here for Elisha and for the Shunammite woman. The other incident that first rings my bell is when Saul went looking for his father's donkeys that were missing. And the Bible says that on a particular day, at a certain hour of the day, he crossed paths with Samuel. Not just so that Samuel could tell him where the donkeys were, but also so he could tell him, "You're going to be the king of Israel, and I need to anoint you." Big deal. Yes. But it was a divine appointment. Amen. Sometimes these divine appointments is just so that you can smile at a person who needed a smile. Sometimes it's giving that person a hug who needs a hug. Sometimes it's letting go of some of your money to be a help to them. Amen. Sometimes it's them being a help to you. But you got to be honest. This Shunammite woman wasn't to begin with. She just said, "I'm good. I don't need anything." I'm sure that in her mind she was probably thinking that very moment, "I sure would love to have a son." But she didn't want to say that. I mean, what could this guy do to help me with that? But God was working. And even though she didn't say anything, God still moved, and he put it on the heart of Elisha to tell her, "About this time next year, you're going to have a son." So when's your next divine appointment? We don't know when it's coming. We just need to be prepared. Amen. We need to be walking with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. He guides us. He tells us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for bringing us to this passage. And Lord, I know that you set up these appointments for us daily. And sometimes it's to shine for you in one way or another. And then sometimes it's so that somebody can just be an encouragement to us. Lord, help us to listen to your voice and to follow your lead. I thank you for that. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand if you would. And 483. Let's turn to page number 483.